Hello, my name is Alana Hall, and in this podcast, I'll be talking about storytelling as both a form of knowledge sharing and as a therapeutic practice. In addition, I'll be making connections between storytelling and the concept of lived experience. I'll begin with some definitions, then I'll use some examples to illustrate how storytelling in the context of lived experience can be used as a form of knowledge sharing and as a therapeutic practice. Lastly, I'll provide a quick recap, limitations, and some suggestions for future exploration. Firstly, some definitions. Lived experience is defined in Oxford Reference as personal knowledge about the world gained through direct, first-hand involvement in everyday events, rather than through representations constructed by other people. Storytelling can take many different forms. However, in this context, as described by Drum 2013, it is interpreted as a real account of events that describes an experience. In other words, an informal account of personal lived experience. This definition already alludes to the main argument within this podcast, which is the idea that there can be an intrinsic link between lived experience and the process of storytelling. To elaborate, part of the value of lived experience is in the storytelling. The practice of sharing one's personal story to active listeners is a form of knowledge sharing, free from academic institutionalization. Rogers and Farson, 1957. Moreover, according to Drum, 2013, stories give us a deeper insight into lived experience. He argues that there is something innately human about the art of telling and listening to stories, and that this is how human beings articulate their experience of the world. One spokesperson for storytelling as a process of knowledge sharing is Liz Atkin. She found that sharing her personal experience of skin picking enabled others to recognise their own similar conditions. For Liz, the use of image, art and dance enabled her to visualise her lived experience of skin picking, creating a narrative through both the visual arts and verbal storytelling to represent her experience. Liz emphasised the value of sharing her story on social media as a way to spread information and access community of other people struggling with the same issues. Again, this feeds back into storytelling as a form of informal knowledge sharing and also a way of sharing information outside of academic realms. For Drum 2013, the meaning and impact of the story is dependent on both the speaker and the listener. When both parties are fully engaged, it becomes a relationship with the potential to co-produce meaning. Bednar and Welch, 2013, build on this idea of the co-creation of understanding, arguing that the speaker and the narrative must first be recognised by the listener. The listener will then try to reconstruct it in her own terms, using her own lived experience of similar narratives and contexts. Listening can involve a number of activities: noting, questioning, and translation. In the same way, the author of the story is free to attribute whatever roles, words, beliefs or actions she wishes to the various characters. We often find it necessary to validate our understandings by relaying the story back to the teller, by giving feedback such as rephrasing, questioning or simply nodding. Similarly, the teller may adopt strategies intended to support the listener's efforts in interpretation, for example, using different terms or media. In this way, knowledge can be co-produced or is co-understood in the form of knowledge sharing within lived experience workshops or programs. The act of storytelling goes far beyond a tool for knowledge sharing. It can also be used as a therapeutic process for both the speaker and the listener. According to McCann, Bartow and Goldman, 2019, the experience of being listened to and, more to the point, feeling heard, can help reduce conflict, decrease physical pain, and foster emotional healing. Drum 2013 suggests that retelling experiences can promote resilience and recovery. Resilience involves a willingness to turn negative emotions involved in disruptive life events into something strengthening and empowering. This argument is well illustrated by Lorna Collins. Lorna explores the storytelling process using art and film. She found that telling us the story of her experience empowering and validating during her recovery, helping her to solidify experiences, taking ownership of her narrative. Lorna has a TEDx named How Creativity Revived Me, which further details her lived experience and storytelling processes and can be viewed on YouTube. Nowadays, Lorna creates short stories about her experiences, illustrated in children's books alongside paintings. She expresses that the stories that she chooses to tell have changed over time, and yet the act of storytelling remains a way of managing, dealing with, and celebrating existence. As demonstrated in this example, when telling a story, the individual expresses significant events in their own words and own time, and is empowered to reflect. The process enables new awareness and new meanings of the self to emerge. These are, in most cases, positive new meanings that reformulate the teller's sense of self, helping them to move beyond negative narratives they may feel defined for them, Drama 2013. It is important to note that the type of story shared is significant. McLean et al. 2007 asserts that telling negative stories is deemed a more powerful catalyst for creating positive perceptions of the self, that reflecting on the detail of a disruptive life event helps shape self-identity and much more effectively than a positive story, which more commonly serves to entertain and to educate. Having said this, it is important to acknowledge that some of these processes, whilst largely seen as healing, still come with limitations. McAdams and McLean, 2013, argue that holding on to or repeating negative stories may inhibit individuals from moving on. There is a risk that if the trauma in somebody's life is always a point of reference, it may inhibit them from making new stories. Although some stories are life-changing, they may not be the only story in somebody's life. In addition, there is concern for the individual's well-being in storytelling, with reports of upset in relaying one's story. However, it is argued that for the most part, this is part of the therapeutic practice and that the benefits of telling their story far outweigh any emotional distress. In fact, as Drum argues, it is more often that the act of telling a story and reflecting on it has a cathartic effect and is a catalyst to recovery. To briefly recap, the concepts of lived experience and storytelling practices are intrinsically linked. The storytelling element is a vital part of what makes lived experience effective. Storytelling is both a tool for non-institutionalized knowledge sharing and a therapeutic practice for both the speaker and the listener. There is still much to discuss and analyze which could not be fit into this podcast. Storytelling has been a long-standing practice throughout history and still is in many cultures and indigenous groups. This must be considered when implementing theory around knowledge sharing. Going forward, storytelling in medical settings has shown positive results, which could be further analysed. McCann, Barto, and Goldman, 2019, expressed that through listening, a group may heal, learn, evolve, and achieve. For the individual, research confirms that the lived experience of being listened to is fundamental to quality of life and health. And physician listening serves as a healing and therapeutic agent for patients. Following the end of this podcast, perhaps you could consider these ideas in your own life. Maybe you consider how you contribute to the co-production of knowledge when actively listening to a speaker. Or you think consciously about how your own narrative might shape your identity. But for now, thank you for taking the time to listen.